Hi, I'm Katya.
And I'm Rin.
And we're from the Commonwealth Center for Holistic Herbalism here in Boston, Massachusetts.
And on the internet everywhere, thanks to the power of the podcast.
Ooh. So today, I really want to hijack the whole podcast, but it's not really hijacking because Rin agreed. And I really want to talk about mothers because I am one, and I want to talk about teens and tweens because there's a lot going on right now, and I think that some support for those groups could be really great. But before we do that, we have to say the thing. So let me just kick it off and say we are not doctors. We're herbalists and we're holistic health educators.
The ideas we discuss in our podcast do not constitute medical advice. No state or federal authority licenses herbalists in the U.S., so our discussions are for educational purposes only. We want to remind you that everyone's body is different, so the things we're talking about may or may not apply directly to you. But they will give you some information to think about and a jumping-off point for further research.
We also want to remind you that your good health is your own personal responsibility, and that might sound like, oh no, how can I be expected to do this all by myself? But it's actually really empowering to know that you're the one who has the decision about that. And, you know, you can get education from lots of places, but in the end, it is actually your choice. So whether you're considering a course of therapy that you learned about on the internet or from your physician or anything in between, the decision about how to move forward is always yours. Mm-hmm. So, cool. Okay, well, we did that part. So this has been a really hard week. And not just in the national media with yet another school shooting, but even here locally, there's been a lot of mothers and children, mothers and babies, mothers and daughters, things going on. And I say that, and as soon as I say it, I'm really aware that I'm kind of excluding fathers in that statement, and I don't really mean to be. It's just that I'm a mama, and so that's my perspective in thinking about it. And so I guess really I mean parents, and then I also mean grandparents and caregivers and all of the people who care for children, and all of the children, and especially the teens and tweens right now, because they're taking on such a mantle of responsibility in standing up and pushing for the things that have not been done for them yet that really need to be. And by that specifically, I'm talking about the gun control issues around the school shootings, but really so much more about this world that we could be doing to support our young people. So I just wanted to talk about that. And, you know, even here locally, in the last 10 days, I've had a handful of mother-daughter or mother-child clients at all ages, and that has also been really, each one of those has been really touching. And my own daughter and I have had some things happen this week that also were, you know, like a little rough on my heart, and she's fine and I'm fine and everything's fine, but, you know, you get some scrapes and bruises along the way. So I wanted to share three herbs that I find really supportive for mothers, and then some herbs that I think are really important for our teens and tweens at really any time, but especially now. I'll start off with mothers, and I'll just say again that these things are great for fathers and grandparents and caregivers of all kinds as well. So first off, motherwort. And motherwort, the plant is Leonaris cardiaca, and that the Latin there means lion-hearted, which already I love that the common name is motherwort and the Latin is lion-hearted because you know mothers and caregivers of any kind need that lion heart sometimes. I'm thinking about, we just saw Black Panther this week, and if you haven't seen it yet, go see it, and if you have seen it, go see it again, for real.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about those amazing warrior women with their spears, and motherwort, like, they remind me of motherwort so much, because if you've ever seen this plant growing, it it has these rows of spears around the seeds that are like protecting the seeds. And they're really very sharp, actually. Like, you don't want to just go up and grab them. Mm. And so that, like, when I think about what it takes to be a mother these days, maybe any day, but these days in particular, like, you have to have your heart protected, and you have to have strength to do some pretty crazy things, even if your kids don't get sick, but especially if your kids do get sick, and maybe you have to take your kid to the hospital, or maybe your kid has a severe asthma attack, or you know, whatever, and you have to be really strong and not show all the emotions that you're feeling, so that you can help your child to stay calm. And if you have children, or if you care for children, then you certainly have been in this sort of a situation. You probably know what I mean. And motherwort really helps with that strengthening, sort of boundary setting, so that you're like, okay, I can do what I have to do right now, and I can put a boundary around the things that are making me want to fall apart and just lose it. Because right now I need to not have those feelings, and I need instead to have these protective feelings. Yeah, so I just really, really love motherwort for that. Hmm. Then I also want to offer rose. Rose is another plant with thorns. Actually, all of these plants are plants with thorns, so apparently I have some theme going on there. But rose is another thorny plant, and I think I've talked about this, maybe not on a podcast, but certainly on our video of herbs for emotional and psychological support, or
first aid.
Yeah, emotional and psychological first aid. And we'll put a link to that in the show notes, because it's free on our website. It's an hour and some number of minutes long video. And I really hope that it can be helpful for lots of people. So it might be that I said it there, or maybe I said it in a podcast. But the point is that if you've heard this before, then let it just be a nice reminder that rose is the way that it grows in the wild. It grows in a sort of like umbrella pattern, and just with lots of brambly vines. And if you look at one, there's all these little trails inside and in between the brambles for like the squirrels and the bunnies, and where they're hiding from the hawks and the foxes who can't get in. And right now, as a parent, that's what I want. I just want to some days pick up my kid. She's 14. She's almost 15. It's not like she needs somebody to pick her up and hide with her in a rose bush. But some days that's just what I want to do. Like, obviously some days that's not even appropriate. But sometimes I just want to, that's what I want to do. Just pick my kid up and run into the brambles where nobody can find us, and everything will be safe. So we like rose for those kinds of feelings, no matter who you are. Like, anytime that your to-do list feels like a hawk that is trying to get you, then rose is really great then too. But anytime that there's a situation that you're facing that feels really big and you're not quite sure that you're maybe up to the task, rose just offers that feeling of protection and encouragement and safety, so you can go out and do whatever it is you have to do. You don't actually have to huddle in the thorns and just stay there. But that's a plant that I just love working with. And it doesn't have to be complicated. I mean, these motherwort and rose, and the next plant is going to be hawthorn. These all you can just make regular old tea. But rose, heck, you can even just get rose water from the grocery store and put a spoonful of it into some hot water, and presto, like, you're already ready to go. You don't even have to make tea. It's even easier than that. And rose petal elixir is also so nice. Mm. Yeah.
A large part of the medicine from rose is just coming from it's coming from the scent, from the aromatic compounds in there. And so you can get those in lots of different formats.
That's like rose essential oil, right? Like, when we're talking about the smelly part of plants, That's the volatile oils. That is the part that is going to be in those little bottles of essential oil. But you don't have to get it in a bottle of essential oil. And that's a good thing because rose essential oil is ridiculously expensive. Mm. But just smelling it is the same as opening up a bottle of essential oil and smelling it. So that's like, if you recognize medicinal value in essential oil, then you can also recognize that same value in just burying your nose in a rose and breathing deep.
Yes.
So then I wanted to talk about hawthorn. Hawthorn is a tree that has thorns, and they're mighty, mighty thorns. They're beastly. They remind me of mesquite thorns when I was a kid in Texas. And they're beefy. And the funny thing is that if you look at hawthorn trees today, those thorns don't protect it from deer who might want to eat the foliage or whatever. Those thorns really, you were reading in the book by, is it McKenna?
I forget the author in this moment, I'm sorry. The book is called The Once and Future World.
It's at the office.
It is there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But in this book, the author is writing about some of the adaptations that plants have made to their environment and to their predators. And some of those have stuck around quite long after the time when those predators themselves have left the scene. So in the case of hawthorn, it seems that these large, widely spaced thorns that the plant has developed as a defense against giant ground sloths, or sloths if you live in England. But so this is like a creature, like kind of like the size of your car, more or less.
They were 4 tons.
They're pretty big.
Just because the word sloth is involved, and we tend to think of sloths as cute and cuddly, yeah. Like this was a giant 4-ton creature that was coming to eat all of your leaves.
Right, and they would do it. They would sort of just like reach out with their 3-clawed hand, and they would strip a whole bunch of leaves off of one branch and take a handful and chomp them down. So the hawthorn developed these thorns, you know, again, pretty large, pretty widely spaced, and that discourages your tender paws from tearing through all the leaves, but it doesn't discourage deer from putting their nice pointy little faces in there and nibbling off a few at a time.
Yeah.
So, on a sort of metaphorical level, we sometimes think about hawthorn as being useful for when you feel like you're being assaulted by giant beastly monsters that want to strip away everything you've got, whether or not they may actually be there.
Yeah. Hmm. And hawthorn, you know, traditionally is a plant that we turn to for grief and for loss and for grieving. And it doesn't have to be that it was your child involved in these incidents for you to have grief and to be feeling grief in these times. And I think right now there's an aspect of our entire culture that is grieving, and it's just heavy. And this whole week I've just felt it everywhere, that just everyone is really burdened. And it's like, we're in Boston, we're not even in Florida, you know, but it's just, it's getting to be a lot to carry. So hawthorn can really offer a lovely protection and a lovely support in those kinds of times. Plus, you know, just on a bonus level, tons of antioxidants, actually good physiologically for the heart as well, and really very, very tasty. And usually it's the hawthorn berries. You can work with the leaf and flower as well, but usually the berries are what we're looking for. And you could just take all three of these, motherwort, rose, and hawthorn, toss them into a French press and make tea out of the three of those just as they are. Though I will say that motherwort and rose are both somewhat bitter. Of course, the rose has that delicious, aromatic, lovely scent, but the flavor is somewhat bitter, and the motherwort is somewhat bitter also. So if bitter flavors turn you off, then put in lots of hawthorn and just a little rose and motherwort. Or put in a lot of all three of those, but then add some other tasty plants like tulsi or linden or ginger that will help to spruce up the flavor for you. And of course, you always can just toss honey in there too. Another nice way to work with these three is to take tinctures of the motherwort and the hawthorn and add it to rose petal infused honey and make that as an elixir. And that is seriously delicious. And also, again, when we're thinking about medicine for heavy times, having something sweet and delicious and sort of like delighting to the senses actually is part of the medicine. It's really important because that really gives you that effect of kind of a sudden sweet, that sudden sweetness is like, oh, okay. There's a change from that bitter heaviness that had been in what you might've been feeling before. Or even that kind of metallic-y flavored heaviness. Anyway, so that is some nice support for mothers and also other parent types and caregivers. And then I wanted to offer some things for our teens and tweens too. So obviously, first off, all the things that I already said, the motherwort, the rose, the hawthorn are really, really going to be fantastic for our teens and tweens too. Whether they've been involved in these incidents or whether they haven't and they're just trying to make sense of the world that they're living in, if you're going to sit down with your kids and talk about it, you know, why not make a pot of tea for the whole family or the whole group of people who's going to sit down and chat, or a nice elixir and pass it around before you chat, just to sort of give that safe space and hold the heart to do that hard work. But I wanted to add for our teens, one in particular, yarrow, especially as we're watching so many of our teens and tweens really standing up and demanding gun control and demanding change at very high levels that normally we would say, oh, well, that's for grown-ups to do, or that's for adults to do, or whatever. And right now we're seeing our kids saying, well, you're not doing it, so we're going to stand up and do it. And that's amazing and laudable, and I'm so excited about them because, you know, these kids, they're ready for the fight. And when you need that kind of, like, support to gear you up, something that's gonna be there and say, I've got your back, that's yarrow. Yarrow is like herbal armor. And the Latin name is Achillea millifolium.
Right. Yeah, so the species name there, millifolium, refers to the shape of the leaves, and yarrow has these tripinnate leaves, which means three feathers. They look really feathery. They branch out three times from where the stem comes, so off the stem, and then another branching, and then a third one. So that's pretty rare. You don't see too many plants that have that. It's one of the best ways to identify your yarrow plant. So that's that part of the name. The other part, Achillea, that refers to Achilles. So Achilles was a warrior in Greek myth, and his mama was a nymph, I believe, and she dipped him into the river Styx when he was young, and for some reason she decided the best way to do this would be to hold the baby by the heel. Not usually the best way to carry your babies around, but, you know, nymphs, they get away with things. So anyway, he became more or less invincible after that. And, you know, the Achilles heel is that part that wasn't dipped into the magic waters and wasn't invulnerable anymore, or to begin with. So that's that kind of story. But the connection is between Achilles as like a archetypal sort of warrior figure and Achillea, the plant, yarrow, as a warrior plant, as something that was very important to people who were going to go out and get cut up or get into scrapes and trouble.
Battle damage.
Yeah. Yarrow is, physiologically, yarrow is a wound healer. You can take a wound, you can soak it in a yarrow tea, or you can apply a compress. You can work with yarrow in a lot of different ways to accelerate wound healing, to prevent or to mitigate infection, and just to make sure that process goes well. So that's important. But on the mental emotional plane, we find that yarrow is very helpful when you need a little bit of energetic armor, when you need to feel Like, there's more protection between your sensitive parts and the outside world. Yarrow is nice because it doesn't dull your emotions, it doesn't kind of block you off from other things, it doesn't prevent you from making connections to other people, but it does help to protect you from, I guess you'd call it negative energy or negative intention, things that are going to be more troubling than what you're already coping with.
It's like it helps you stay geared up for the fight and not get bogged down by people who might be telling you that you'll never win, or bogged down by failures that are in the path of your ultimate success, or whatever else. Like, kind of just that nothing can stop you, and you can, or that feeling that you can just keep moving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, of course, I mean, Yarrow is going to be great for moms and dads and everybody else who's gearing up for the fight as well. It's not just like our kids are doing this all by themselves, although I don't actually want to say that, because they are doing it all by themselves, and that's pretty awesome, but we can help and we can be with them in that. So I just think it's so amazing that they've just taken it into their own hands, and they're leading the way. So let's follow them, and we can all have some Yarrow to help us out in that. So then I wanted to share, besides that, I wanted to share two herbs that are really helpful for the liver. And you might be like, hold on, how did we get to the liver from all this? Mostly it's because when you're in puberty, there's tons of hormones going on. And the liver is the part of the body that breaks those hormones down and recycles them, or throws away the stuff we don't need anymore. And keeping up with that hormonal load can make puberty a lot more comfortable, or maybe what I mean is less uncomfortable. And when we see kids really struggling to keep up with the hormonal effects of puberty, and they're having like a lot of mood swings, or having a lot of difficulty staying stable in their mood, a lot of times what's going on there, or one aspect of what's going on, is that they need a little bit of liver support. So, you know, our modern diets don't necessarily provide that. And so there are some herbs that can be really, really helpful there. And as we're looking at these kids who are standing up and really taking on this big work, but really any kids, one way that we can help them is just to keep them healthy in their everyday lives. So that's why I wanted to talk about the liver. So one of the easiest ways to support the liver is milk thistle. Milk thistle is very gentle. It is really strongly liver supportive. And one of the niftiest things about milk thistle is that you actually can totally take it in a capsule. Now, usually I'm not a big fan of taking herbs in a capsule. I really want to have a relationship with plants, and I would much rather work with plants as tea or in a tincture extract or an elixir, so that I can still taste the plant and really have that be part of my relationship. But sometimes there's not a lot of time for that, and everything is sort of on the go and in a rush. And so it's really handy that milk thistle is one that you just can grab some capsules, take it, and go. And so when you're looking for a good brand, what you want is one that doesn't have additives. It's just ground up milk thistle seed. And that if you can get that and organic, then you're good. I have liked Oregon's Wild Harvest in the past, but there's a bunch of, Jaro makes one. There's a bunch of good ones out there. I've even just taken the like Whole Foods brand one, and that's been fine. So grab yourself some milk thistle capsules. It's a really easy way that we can give all of our kids in puberty some support, just to make puberty a little bit easier. And I also really love St. John's wort. Now, this isn't one that's going to work if you're taking pharmaceuticals, because St. John's wort is so stimulating, or not exactly stimulating isn't the word that I want, but it's so liver promoting that it can actually clear pharmaceuticals out of your body faster than your doctor intended. So that's not a problem for every single pharmaceutical. Like if you're just taking some antibiotics or something where the dose is really big, then that's less of an issue. But if you're taking anything that is dose, like the dose is finicky, then you really don't want St. John's wort in there because you can really change your dose very quickly. And because we're not all educated as pharmacists, it's usually easier to just simply say, oh, we just won't use St. John's wort with any pharmaceuticals, because that way you know you can't accidentally make a mistake. But if you're not taking pharmaceuticals, then St. John's wort is a real super booster for the liver. I like to take it as tea. The capsules really don't do the job here. It really needs to be tea or at least tincture. But the thing is that the tea tastes a lot like regular black tea. And you can put a little honey in there. It's really not an unpleasant flavor at all. So it's actually usually pretty easy to convince people to try it. And then they say, oh, you know, this wasn't bad. I kind of liked it. I really love St. John's wort when I eat sugary treats. And again, that's my liver, right? Because when you eat sugar, you need a bunch of insulin. And insulin, remember, it's a hormone. And then after that, you need a bunch of cortisol to deal with all the insulin. And that's another hormone. And so it's almost like if I have some cake or whatever, my body is saying, hey, if you're going to do that to me, you better give me the St. John's wort so that we can take care of all the mess that this cake is going to make in your body. And so, you know, whether you have a bunch of hormones to break down in the liver today because you ate cake or because you're a teenager in puberty and you just have all these extra hormones, St. John's wort is definitely going to help. So that is one that I really love. And just, you know, a cup or two a day. It's so lovely at night to settle in with a cup of tea and sort of let that help you unwind. And St. John's wort isn't a sedative. It doesn't make you sleepy or anything like that. But just the routine of sitting and having a warm cup of tea can be really relaxing. And having one that's going to be so supportive to the liver, really, really awesome. Mm-hmm. Speaking of cake, for kids in puberty, it's also a really good idea to try to be low sugar. Again, because your liver's already doing so much work to break down all the extra puberty hormones. And now if you eat a bunch of sugar, then on top of it, you have to break down all the extra insulin and all the extra cortisol. And insulin and cortisol are really like the top of the stack. They're really like the most important hormones in your body in terms of things that need to get broken down right away, especially insulin. And so that's going to mean that your other sort of like puberty related hormones are going to take a back seat and they might not all get broken down today. So again, you know, it's great to just avoid the sugar, but you guys already know I love cake. It's hard to avoid cake. So St. John's wort, if you're not taking pharmaceuticals when there's going to be sugar, and if you are taking pharmaceuticals or if you're not, cinnamon also really helps your body cope with sugar. Mm-hmm. And now you may think I'm just completely off track, but I do know about you. Actually, I was going to say, I don't know about you, but I actually do know about you. When you're stressed out, you want simple carbs. Whether you're a sweet person or a salty person, whether you're turning to chips and french fries or cake and brownies, that's what the human body does. When it is a stressful time, we want simple carbs, not because it's comfort food. It's comfort food because it's easy to burn. It's easy fuel. And the body is looking for some place that it can cut some corners because, hey, there's a lot of stuff going on right now. So that's actually our bodies being really efficient. But because we can get chips on every corner and Dunkin' Donuts on every corner, that level of efficiency is no longer really required anymore. And so this is like a sort of evolutionary tool that our body used that just hasn't kept up with the prevalence of sugar and simple carbs available in our environments now. But so it's all tied together. When you're feeling really low, when you're feeling heavy or grieving or any of those things, when you're stressed out, or when you're just busy because suddenly you're organizing a march to, like, you know, commemorate things and whatever, then sugar happens. Simple carbs happen. So that's the tie-in with the cinnamon and also all these liver things, just to help everything flow a little more easily. And then the last herb that I want to talk about here is tulsi. Tulsi is really uplifting, but it's not a liar, right? It's not going to make you pretend that everything is fine when it's not fine. And I think that's really important right now, because right now you should be angry. And also right now I feel like we're all grieving. So it's actually okay if no one is happy right now. But getting all those feelings organized and lined up in a way that we can use them to power change instead of having them bounce around all chaotically inside and dragging us down into despair is really, really important. And that's something that tulsi is really good at. It's going to keep your brain moving forward, help you get past the trauma, and get yourself into a place that's mobile and functional and able to use the events that are upsetting you to power your reaction to those events and your the changes that you want to make about that. So tulsi tastes really good. It's kind of spearminty, not exactly spearminty, but it's in that direction. And so it's really easy to work with as tea. You can add lemon or honey or ginger or whatever. And it's not, you know, just put it in your water bottle, take it with you on the go. Organic India is a brand that makes a really good quality tulsi tea bag. So if you don't have time for the whole loose leaf tea routine, then you can have tea bags right there on hand when you're on the go, or when you're just too tired to take the effort to do the whole pot of tea and French press and the whole nine yards. And I think traditional medicinals also makes a tulsi that's pretty good. But Organic India makes, like, all different, you know, ginger tulsi and lemon chamomile tulsi and, you know, different flavors to go with it. Mm-hmm. And it's really good quality herbs that we don't get endorsed by, or we don't get any kickbacks by Organic India or anything, but I just really like their product. So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, again, if you'd like to hear a little bit more about some of these plants, you can check out our class on herbs for emotional first aid and trauma. We'll put a link to that right here in the show notes.
And I'll also definitely share that with anyone. I really hope that that'll be something that's helpful and supportive. And anybody that is needing that right now, just, it's a free video, so share it widely. Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's see. I think we're about to start up with our apprenticeship program in a couple of weeks here. So yeah. I think we're all filled up for the year.
We probably can squeeze one more person in.
Mm-hmm. So if you've been waiting, stop waiting.
Like, literally, we are full, but we always are full and then we take one more. So if that's you, holler now. If you're from far away, check out our online programs. And also check out March for Our Lives and all the other stuff that's happening that the kids are organizing. But I think March for Our Lives is the big hub about that. So check that out and do that. And we'll see you next week.
Okay. Good luck. Great.